This is Corey Gray and Tony Stewart from Hairdistry. Thank you for tuning in to the Hairdressers Podcast. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Cassie, owner of Beyond the Beard New York City and founder of nonprofit Her Chair, His Hair. I was asked how many ways Schedulicity has changed and helped my business and my nonprofit over the years, and I cannot even begin to list all of them. But what I will say is that the love, the support, the community that Schedulicity and their team offers is the cherry on top of this already amazing booking and scheduling platform that they have created for our industry. I cannot even imagine where my business would be right now if I had not switched over to Schedulicity almost 2.5 years ago. I look forward to the future and to whatever else they may build or add to their platform, because so far it has helped me beyond words.
Hello everyone, my name is Jerry Natuno, CEO and founder of Schedulicity, and we're proud to bring you this amazing podcast.
Welcome to your day off. My name is Corey, and of course, I'm sitting with my bud, Tony.
What's going on, homie?
What's up, G?
Oh, just another day in paradise,
another
brother.
Another day in paradise. Hey, so we did a post a few days ago just kind of talking about like our story and kind of, it was kind of a tease of what's happening and what's going on. Well, you know, on November 14th, we have a lot of stuff to drop and we're hoping, the goal is to open up a conversation within the industry. The goal is for people to share the video that we're going to be releasing and, you know, I don't know. I'm super, I hate to say super excited because we always say super excited, but for real, it's a pretty cool thing.
It's something that we've been talking about, you know, in those posts that we're doing, you know, it does say, you know, you have permission to fall in love with the hair industry, right? Mm-hmm. Come join us and fall in love with the hair industry. We have so many incredible people in our industry are doing great things, giving great things, you know, really stepping up and, mm-hmm. you know, really trying to help each other. Mm-hmm. And it's just a confirmation that, you know, we have incredible, incredible, incredible people.
We do. I mean, our industry is amazing. And I just, as Hairdistry, or, you know, I am Hairdistry, you know, that we want that tag to hang on, because, well, we want that tag to grow, because it is about like the positiveness of I don't want to confuse it. It's not the positive that we're bringing. It's the positive that's available in our industry and for us to live in that positively. You know, I think so many times, like, I think it's science actually, but,
I failed that,
but, you know, we're attracted to the negative, right? Like if somebody says, man, I had a terrible day, our instinct isn't to say I had a great day, but your instinct is to go, well, I had a worse day. And then you start having competition, like who had the worst day. So that's our instinct and we get it. But like you said, we're kind of giving people permission to fall back in love with the hair industry, to fall in love with the people in the industry, fall in love with the artists in the industry, fall in love with the hair that's being done. We really have a great opportunity here to, you know, I'll say it again, fall in love with the hair industry.
Yeah. And you know, when you said, I am Hairdistry, we want everybody to own Hairdistry. We want everybody to be a part of Hairdistry. You know what I mean? We want Hairdistry not to just be you and I, mm-mm. you know what I mean? It's a community. You know what I mean? It's all of us. And without all of us, you know what I mean? It's going to be hard to keep this, you know, this elevated community, you know what I mean? Where we're trying to, you know, get everybody to love on each other, just to be kind, just to do what's right for each other, to give to each other, to, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Help lift each other. And if we can do that, dude, what an incredible, incredible place.
I agree with you, man. It's pretty cool. I think we have a very, you know, sometimes it takes what we know. You know, it took 2020, it took all that to kind of go, we can shake it up, but let's shake it up in the positive and let's just love on each other. You know, we can't be at the shows loving on each other. So let's do it as a community, and the best place in the world to do it is through social media. So, you know, rah, rah.
Yeah. And going back to our today's guest, you know, she's, you know, on here giving, she's going to be dropping bombs and, mm-hmm. you know, giving back to the community. It's just, you know, it's just an incredible, incredible time.
It is really an incredible time, and let's own it. So our guest today is Misty Jane. And you know, once again, one of the important things about 2020 that we realize is how vulnerable we are when it comes to money or not having enough money. Or I made the joke, and it's not really a joke, but just kind of observation that you know, we were always told to save for a rainy day, and you know, 6 months later, that rainy day is over. You know, now it's become like a storm or whatever, and I don't know if anybody was prepared. You know, because our rainy day before, we've talked about it, is 3 to 6 months of savings. Well, you know, we're beyond that 3 to 6 months of savings in that. So, you know, I think the next conversation, the next responsible conversation that we need to have as an industry moving forward is money security.
Right. Hey, let's stop with the jibber jabbering and let's bring in the expert.
Exactly. Another one of our quotes. We ain't the experts. We bring them on. So again, today our guest is Misty Jane, and yeah, we're going to talk about money matters, and you know, we're going to try to make a whole series of money matters. So you know, if it's something that you need, you know, we're going to create a lot of content around this. But you're right. Let's bring her in. Misty Jane, welcome back to your day off.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
We didn't even give you an earlier shout out. So this is the second time that you've appeared on the show. The first time was about a year and a half ago. I think it was like March of 2019 or so. And you know, we talked about it. And at that point, you had just started like a booth rental, if I remember correctly.
I think I was about a year in at that point.
Yeah, and you were kind of like just giving us how you did within a year, kind of gave us that experience, and you gave a little bit of your foundation and stuff. So if you want to get to know a little bit more about Misty, you know, go ahead and rewind back a few episodes and look for Misty Jane, our earlier one. But you know, today she's going to talk about and help us money control, right?
Hey,
money matters.
I need that in my life more now than ever. So sure. I am really looking forward to what she has to say.
No doubt. So
I
Misty,
think we all do.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming back on. And so has things changed for you since March, or is it, you know, the what you had in place that you were living by, are you sticking to those guns, or did you pivot or, you know, rearrange or rework what you were doing?
So yes, yes and no. So the nice part about this year for me is it showed me that my decisions the last 5 years were worth it. You know, when my husband and I decided it was time to get our financial shit together, never in the conversation was it, I'm going to lose my job. I'm a hairstylist.
Right.
I'll always be able to work. So this year was that, oh my God, that might not be the case. And it was scary, especially we got closed out here in Virginia for 2 months, I believe, I think a full 2 months. And, you know, at first it was scary. I mean, you just don't know where the money's going to come from, if you even have the money. And that 2 months showed us that, you know, we had saved for 3 months of just in case. I had saved in my business. You know, I had still had rent to pay those 2 months. And it showed me that all of the choices that I had made for the last 5 years set me up for this exact situation. So it was really nice to know that even now, I stopped working behind the chair in September to pursue this education and to help stylists. And I would not have been able to do this if I would have never started this journey 5 years ago. Mm. So I think this year opened up my eyes to what's going on in the industry and the fact that we just think that we're always going to be able to bring in money. And I think it's really important to show that, like, you have to have a backup plan, you know, because you just don't know.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, this year has definitely revealed the vulnerabilities, you know, of the industry, and I'm not even saying that revealed you as a hairdresser, revealed you as a person or as an entity, but how our entire industry, that vulnerability, which, you know, coming up,
it totally exposed us.
Yeah, it totally did. And we, again, coming up, like, you know, like you said, like, you'll always have a job, you know, it's always a job that's in demand and all that, but we're exposed. We are sunburned, you know?
Yep. It's so scary.
Not burn easy too.
I know, look at you, light skin. So Misty, what? Let's dive right in. Like if where do you start with your coaching? And well, first off, let me ask you this. I mean, you have a business coaching community that you have now. Like, is this one of the first conversations, or is this a conversation that you're having, you know, further down in your curriculum?
Yeah. So it's funny because what I help with sounds really simple, but there's a lot more behind it. So essentially, the number one thing is to know what's going on in your finances and actually pay attention, and not just pay attention at the beginning, but pay attention throughout and really have a plan for where your money is going to go before you even receive it. So the first conversation that I have with my clients is what is actually even going on? And a lot of people have no idea how much debt they actually have, or they have no idea how much money, if shit were to hit the fan, they have no idea how much money they could even pull together to be able to still pay their rent and to be able to live. So the number one thing is to just see what is actually happening. So I always recommend the first thing that I go through with my coaching is like a money assessment, essentially, where you literally lay out, you pull up all your bills, all your loans, everything, and you write down, this is what I owe. Because for me, I woke up one day and I was $78,000 in debt. And I had no idea.
Wow.
I knew we owed money, but I had no idea the extent of how much money was being owed. Another thing in the assessment is just figure out, are you spending more than you're actually bringing in? Because a lot of times, you know, you're using that credit card. So if you're bringing in, you know, $3,000 a month, but you're spending $4,000 a month, you're never going to get out of that hole. So that is essentially the number one thing that is discussed, and the number one thing that we have to kind of dig into, because that, it sounds so simple, but it literally is the key to finding financial freedom.
Yeah. I think the numbers are easy. It's the psychology around the numbers that's the tough part, right? And
it's funny you say that, because a lot of people, I think the numbers are easy. I've always been a numbers person. But the number one thing that people say is they have no idea where their money is going. So it seems easy, and there's so many apps out there that can make it easy, but people are not paying attention. You know, if you ask somebody, you know, how much did you spend on restaurants last month? You're going to get a lower number than what was actually spent, unless somebody has actually sat down and added it up and actually saw how much, you know, they spent on this specific thing. I know for me, that was my turning point when I realized we were spending $600 a month drinking and going out to eat and felt broke all the time.
Sure.
How are we spending this monthly, but we're still stressed about money and it's keeping us up at night? So it seems simple, but really just having you just have to pay attention.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest issues.
That's crazy. I mean, $600 a month, that's what, $7,200 a year?
Oh yeah. Think right. About it. What do you do on Friday night? You go to Mexican, right? That's an easy $50. Saturday, a nice dinner, easy $100. Sunday, brunch, always. That's $200 just in a weekend, not including lunches during the week, coffees, whatever. That's $600 a month right there, you know, and that's the average weekend, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that's so crazy when you kind of break it down like that.
And you've heard it. Yeah. Do you provide like a template or something, or something that we can organize our thoughts? Because, you know, just writing it down, because, you know, you've always heard, you know, you stop your Starbucks every day and you put it in a savings, and over time you'll have this much in savings. But, you know, without organization, it's a whole lot easier said than done.
Yes. I totally agree. So if somebody is looking for a way to actually see where they're at right now, they can actually go to my Instagram, and I have a free money assessment spreadsheet. It is not a budgeting spreadsheet. It is literally to show you how much you're spending going out, or how much is going out, and then how much is going in. So that right there can just open your eyes to see what's happening. As far as when you're ready to make a change, I'm big on budgeting apps. I really like Dave Ramsey's Every Dollar app because it's very simple. You can plug in what you're going to bring in, and then you can just, it simply adds, you know, where you want to put your money ahead of time. And I recommend everybody do that the month before. So for example, you know, to budget in November, last week would have been the perfect time. So yeah, the apps, I mean, some people are pen and paper people, but it's really nice to just have it on your phone. And when you spend money, just plug it in and then you can just see it.
I did the Dave Ramsey Financial University and mm-hmm. put my whole family through it. Like we did it together as, you know, my kids, my son-in-law, my wife, and we just sat down and it was like, I don't know, like a 8-week program or something like that. But we did it every once a week for the 8 weeks, and it was huge, you know? So everything that you're saying right now, I'm on board 100%.
Hey, Misty, with the Every Dollar app, is that something that you could share with your spouse?
Is absolutely. That... Yes. So that is why I liked it so much. Right. So you both have the same login. And like, if I'm at the grocery store, it pops in there and then he can see it if he goes to the grocery store. So there's not that overlap of, well, I spent $100 at the grocery store today. Oh, well, I also spent $100 at the grocery store today. So yeah, so that's the number one thing I liked about it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know,
mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, that's really cool. What, I mean, you've kind of been through this and you started your business almost during this pandemic. What concerns are your clients having or what's the conversation that you're having with your clients around this?
Well, in the group coaching call yesterday, one of the things we talked about was fall is coming. Well, fall is here. And we're starting to see salons being shut down again around the world. So yesterday we talked about, you know, I'm all about eliminating debt, but I'm worried about what's going on and if it's going to happen again. So we're talking about right now is still working towards paying off debt, but really thinking about putting money aside in a separate account, a harder to get to account, in your business and in your personal life. And just for the next couple months, maybe at like prioritize savings over debt payoff. And if, you know, things are great and we don't get shut down, awesome, then you can take that money and put it towards your debt, you know, in a couple months. But as far as, you know, 2020, that's the biggest conversation right now is not feeling the stress if it happens again.
Right. I got to tell you, my biggest fear isn't that we're shut down. My biggest fear is that this thing grows and our clients just decide not to come. You know, because honestly, it happened like at the beginning of March before the state, we're in Maryland. So before the state of Maryland shut down, you know, there was a week there where like it was really bad. And like, I went from a completely full book, like I've had for years, to like one or two clients that showed up. So, I mean, that's my bigger fear, because then there's no help. There's no support. It's just, you know, you're just out there, you know, almost feel like you're treading water, not even treading water, less than treading water. Right.
Yep. I think that's why it's really important. If somebody's listening and you've never budgeted before, like I highly recommend it right now. Just because if that happens, you're going to be able to see where your money can go and where you can cut back and still make it work. So if you're making, you know, 50% less than you're used to within your business, if you're budgeting, especially at home in your personal finances, you're going to be able to figure it out and make it work. You know, even if you have to get a little scrappy and, you know, sell some more products or whatever, you'll be able to visually see, okay, like, you know, maybe I do need to cut back here right now just for a couple months or whatnot. So I think budgeting and putting some money aside is just right now is more important than ever.
So like, but back to Corey's like comment, you know what I mean? Those that, you know, again, you know, you had 3 months of preparedness saved up, and then, you know, we were closed for 3 months. So, you know, all of a sudden you eat up through that 3 months, and then you go back and you are 50% or even less. How do you, but all your bills and all your rent, everything goes back to normal, right? So it's a hard, I guess, conversation to have to be able to, because you're not going to be able to put that three months worth of saving back in the account, right? Right now, like Corey said, you're treading water. How do we find clarity or find peace or find, you know, something in this chaos to where we can hold on to and have, I guess, you know, hope, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Without feeling like we're going to drown.
It's a hard one this year, you know, and everyone's situation is very different. I mean, we were lucky enough in our situation where we didn't have to touch the 3 months. It was just peace of mind. You know, so if you're a single mom who's a hairstylist, your situation is going to look a lot different than if you have a husband with a job, you know, where maybe you're just not going out to eat while you're shut down, or not spending money, or going on Amazon or whatever. So I think it's difficult. I think I wish I would have started this coaching a year ago.
Sure.
You know, I think that a year ago, nobody would have listened as much, right. But it would have been, you know, much more helpful. Where now we're just, this year is just so fucked, you know, so it's just like, so again, you know, I think it's just setting money aside and knowing where it's going so that if it happens, I mean, you know, you set the emergency fund aside not to be able to go shopping or be able to, you know, eat, go out to eat or whatever. You set it aside for the peace of mind that if something pops up that you're that's unexpected, you can continue to live in a certain way with your income. So when your income stops, you know, and hopefully if that happens, I don't want to scare people because we don't have any idea what the future is going to hold. But I just want you to have some kind of savings so that you know you have a little bit less stress. You know, again, like we can get scrappy. We did, you know, back in March, we sold products, we saw t-shirts. I mean, people, it was amazing to me what the industry did. It was so cool to see. I mean, even down to selling shit around your house, like we can get scrappy if we really need to. But I think starting now and paying attention now will show what scrappy looks like if that were to happen.
Yeah, that's all good. I've actually meant to do a post about it, but like, you know, like the swipe left, you know, like on the dating apps, you know, you swipe left. So what I've been doing is I've gone through my emails, and anybody that's asking me for money, I swipe left on. And I kind of like, you know, sing a little song, like I'm swiping left, like I'm getting you out of my life, you know, like
so you inspired me. I unsubscribed to like all my favorite things after talking to you a couple of weeks ago because of that. I was like, that is so true.
But it's not as fun as swiping left though, Misty. You know? Right. but it's amazing. It's amazing too, as I'm swiping left, how many times in a day people ask you for money, right? And you know, I mean, we're recording this on election day, like even including the election stuff, you know, you get emails all the time saying, hey, I'm looking for money here. And then like you go to like all, you know, Under Armour's asking you, hey, buy this, or Reebok's asking you to buy this, or, you know, whoever. So like, I'm just like, swipe left. I should probably do a post about it. Swipe left. You know, just, you know, get them out of my life until, you know, 3 hours later when they send me the email again. But, right. But anyways, it's been, I've made a joke and I've made a game out of it because it's kind of fun, but it's true though. Like, you know, the first thing that we have to do is control spending, you know, and controlling, nothing happens without the controlling spending, you know, whether that's, you know, $600 a month on meals or whatever. But, you know, that's the first place we can and we're capable to do it. But then again, how I open this thing up, it becomes the psychology of that, you know, because, you know, we've also grown up as a retail happy society, right? And like, what do they call it? Retail therapy, right? Like, yes. Spend money for therapy. So, you know, that's, you know, how do you break through that? And are you coaching people to break through that? Or yes. What's that conversation?
Yep. So spending triggers is a big one. Emotional is the one we hear about the most. Emotional and boredom. I know for me, it's boredom. And the problem with that is when we're sad, we're mad, even if we're happy, we're looking for that happy feeling. So when you buy something, when you buy yourself a present, when you quote unquote treat yourself, it releases dopamines just like anything else. So acknowledging that you're wanting to spend for those reasons. So you're acknowledging that I'm bored, I want to go to brunch, or I'm bored, you know, I'm sad, I want to buy myself a new pair of shoes. Acknowledging that you're letting your emotions spend your money is huge, Because if you have no idea, you're like, I just want those shoes. Like, I'll just feel better. And then, you know, you put yourself in a more compromised financial situation because of that. You're going to have buyer's remorse, and that good feeling is going to go away so quickly. So just acknowledging it and knowing that you have control over your money and not letting your emotions control it is huge. Peer pressure is another one. I mean, I don't know how many times my friends ask me to do something. Of course I want to go do it. I mean, sure. You know, but maybe that thing is a weekend vacation that I really can't afford. So when it comes to that, it's just being honest with yourself and being honest with your loved ones and communicating, you know, I have some goals and these aren't aligning with my goals right now, you know, and just kind of nipping it in the butt. And usually people are understanding. So yeah, spending triggers are a big one. That's a big conversation. There's a lot of shame around money too. You know, people get in a deep situation with debt, you know, and it hurts a little bit on the inside. You feel like you did something wrong. You feel like you really screwed up your life when it's not true. You know, majority of the people have some kind of debt. It's just trying to figure out how to control it and make your money.
Yeah, I think people are afraid to admit or talk about it, right? They feel, like you said, ashamed, right? So they're afraid to really open themselves up to get help with it because they're hiding it or whatever.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's the tough one, man. You know, that's the tough one. And you're absolutely right. And I kind of think, you know, not passing blame on it by any means, but, you know, you're right. It's a societal kind of thing. Like, you know, this is a failure, right? And that's, and it 1000% feels like a failure, you know, when these things kind of happen, you know, just that's a tough one. I wish there was more kind of information about that, or I wish we could kind of change the conversation, right? We could change the conversation to, like, you know, we've talked on this podcast a million times that success doesn't happen. Success happens because of failure, right? And this is just an arm of that, you know, right. like you can be successful, but, you know, you have to first acknowledge that this was a setback.
But a lot of times we, I put myself in that category as well. We don't learn from it, right? We can, it is an addiction, or it is a habit. It is, you know, and if I don't recognize it or acknowledge it, it doesn't exist, right? And I'm still in this crazy situation that I can't get out of.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
We do live in a retail society, right?
Yes. Like,
yeah. And I remember being a kid and when, you know, you see what other people have and you don't have it, you know, you feel there's something that hits you inside. You know what I mean? It's like, man, why, you know, how come I can't have that? But now we're in a society with credit cards and everything. We can have it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so therefore we want to compete, or we want to, you know, be able to look like everybody else or whatever the case may be, and not, you know, do what's responsible, I guess.
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, I'm looking at you guys. I don't know your financial situation. I don't know my neighbor's financial situation. Nobody know. Well, I talk about mine, so you kind of know. But but we look at people that have, you know, nicer things than us, or, you know, bigger houses than us, or nicer cars than us, and we just assume that they have more money than us. But that's not always the case. Sometimes the person with the holes in their sweatshirt has way more money, you know, because maybe they're making better choices or don't care about the material thing. So, I wish I remembered the quote, but it's, you know, stop going broke trying to impress people who are broke. You know, just because somebody looks like they have money doesn't mean they actually have money.
Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. I mean, that's another pressure that we get from social media too. You know, it's like, it's the bling on the weekends, you know, I mean, not so much now, but, like, you know, it's the clubs and it's the cars and it's the look at this and look at that and stuff. I mean, and then, you know, we're competing on an emotional level with that. We're competing on an emotional level with that, which is kind of weird too. We all like to sit back and go, well, I'm not competing, but the truth is we all are, right? The truth is that we all see that, and we all, you know, have some, like, and I don't blame it on us as individuals. I think it's talking to our reptilian brain, or it's talking to our different part of our mindset, you know, but that's what it comes down to, is a mindset, right?
Yep.
Right. Well, as humans, we want to be a part of something. And sometimes, you know, the flashy, pretty stuff is like, I want to be a, that looks like fun. I want to be a part of that. And like, you know, maybe that's not the best decision for my life, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that, again, going back to as simple as it sounds, just paying attention and knowing like, what are your goals? Not the goals of the person next to you, not the goals of the person on Instagram. What do you want? What makes you happy? What habits can you change? And what can you do to make you happy? Because those people and those things you're seeing aren't paying your bills and they're not putting a smile on your face.
One of my favorite quotes from the 3 years of the podcast that we've done was Maddie Conrad. And Maddie Conrad has a million great quotes, but this one I think about a lot. So I didn't know it struck me like it did, but I think about it a lot. And that's, he says that, that success is judged from others' eyes. So he's seeking fulfillment, you know, because he's never going to be successful because it's that's somebody else. That's somebody else's a judgment of you. So he's looking for fulfillment. And I don't know how that really works with the money conversation, but it's more about, you know, how can I be fulfilled as opposed to, you know, looking
successful. Absolutely. I made a post last week about how I want to normalize the wealthy hairstylist. And I don't mean that as I want to make hairstylists rich. I mean it as I want the wealth, like I am not rich, but I feel wealthy. I'm in a place that I love. I have my family. I'm able to make choices and take more risk because of my financial situation. But it's more of a fulfillment, a wealth of happiness, a wealth of making choices and having the option of making choices. And money can do that.
For me, it's contentment, right?
Yes.
It's being content. And if you're content, no matter what you have, whether you are rich or you're poor, and if you're content, you're happy. Right. So it's that if you don't have that contentment and you're always striving because you want, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? It's nothing wrong with that at all. And you know, a lot of people are going to have that drive to get where they want to go. You know what I mean? But if you can find contentment in that, you're going to be happy. You know what I mean? But without the contentment, there's always something missing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I think Time Magazine did an article years ago about the happiest places in the world. And happiness seemed to be found in like the poorest communities, you know, because now the only thing that has value now is community and family and all that. And once again, getting back to that reptilian brain, I think that's where, you know, that's where we find that contentment, you know, although we fight it all the time, you know, but that's where we find it. So anyway, I mean, I would love to create that within Hairdistry, right? We talked about it, you know, as we opened up, it's like, you know, we're trying to build this community to where, you know, we can find that happiness within the community.
Yeah.
Minor plug. Shameless plug.
You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. I mean, my goal too, is I know for me, you know, when I started my financial journey, I was a very busy hairstylist and I thought that I couldn't get the things that I wanted because I picked being a hairstylist, when actuality, it was my spending habits. You know, I kept thinking, well, if I made this much, which I don't know if I'll ever be able to make, that everything would go away. But if I made that much, I would just continue to spend and I would continue to do, you know, things that weren't aligned with what I wanted in my future. I mean, you know, the house that I live in is a big part of my story because I vividly remember driving through this neighborhood and saying, we should have went to college. We screwed up, mm-hmm. you know, and 5 years later, I'm in this neighborhood, in this house. And it was like, wow, I still get to do what I love. And I don't, you know, it wasn't about making more money. It was about making better choices around my money.
Absolutely.
I want that for everybody.
The more money you make, the more expensive your toys are, the more, you know what I mean? The more expensive
your habits are.
Exactly. So, you know,
more money, like, more problems.
Yeah. More money, more problems.
It stays the same, right? You're on that trajectory of, exactly. of where you were when you were making less.
Here's a funny money story. when Tony, if you don't know, Tony and I grew up together. We've been friends, you know, from you know, early in our high school. So we used to, me, Tony, and Tony's cousin, Rusty, we used to hang out all the time, right, when we were young. So there was a time where we would go out every weekend, we'd go out every night, and there became a time where Rusty dropped off, you know, and we would totally like 20-year-old or 19-year-old peer pressure, Rusty, come on, man, don't be a punk. Come on, hang out with us. He's like, sorry, boys, I got to work. And we're like, man, you can work forever. Come hang out. Come party with us. Come whatever. So you know, this went on. And then, you know, eventually Rusty, I mean, it's Tony's cousin, so he didn't drop out of our life. But essentially, he dropped out of our life, right? Well, you know, Rusty worked his tail off. You know, he was a welder's apprentice. And then, you know, he started a welding company. And then from his welding company, he started, like, you know, these big projects. And, you know, he became a businessman. You know, now he owns his own, like, steel company and owns his own welding company and all that kind of stuff. And now Rusty, when we're in our 50s, he's texting us all the time, like, hey, boys, come out and play with us. Come out and play with us. And we're like, sorry, man, we got to work.
He put in his work, man.
It's one of my favorite stories and one of my favorite true stories about, you know, he worked young. He worked early, and it's paying dividends now. But, you know, when you're 20, your motives are totally different. Well, his wasn't, you know, so. Yeah. He killed us.
Yeah, truly. He truly did.
I think that's the hard part. You know, in your mid-20s, you don't think about the future. You know, you don't. I mean, I know for me, like, I never considered what I was doing then would affect my future. Sure. You know, and I really don't know. I mean, the people I'm seeing now that I'm coaching are, you know, later 20s, early 30s. And I still don't know. You know, I'm hoping that the conversation gets out there so much that the younger, because, oh my gosh, could you imagine starting to save at like 18 or 19, like right out of school? Like, I would have so much money, yeah. You know, but I don't know if it, you have to go through a little bit of struggle to realize it. I mean, you know, some people are very lucky where they grew up, where their parents taught them what to do. You know, and they're making choices for their future early. But I would say the majority, that's not necessarily the case.
Well, there's that great book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? About how the rich dad teaches to spend money, to save money, and how the poor dad spends money.
I remember growing up, because, you know, and we've told my story on the podcast before, you know, we grew up really, really poor. But even like my mom, her sisters, everybody lived off of credit cards. I mean, I'm surprised how they were able to get credit cards, right? To the point where, you know, they had to declare bankruptcy because they, you know, they couldn't, there's no way they could pay it off. But I was surprised how they were able to get all these credit cards. And her sisters, it was crazy. It was, you could see them ordering a million things off of QVC and it was just a while, you know what I mean? But there's, you know, it was an addiction for my mom, you know what I mean? Thank God that she's able to recover from that. And, you know, now she lives with me and we take care of her, but you know, she doesn't have those issues anymore, but you know, it was a struggle for her for such a long time.
Because it made her feel good.
It did.
You know, if you're stressed out and you buy these things, it you know, the emotional spending triggers. It's exactly, it's 100%. And like you said, there's more to it underneath, you know, it's not just about, you know, spending.
It's funny that you said that because Tony's mom, she never bought for herself.
Yeah.
You know, it was always gifts. She was always like, she would buy these like big things and she would give them all away. So I can't imagine that psychology about when it came time to pay the piper and you're like, I literally have zero to show for this.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I think she felt bad, you know, because I mean, we grew up, we literally had nothing. And I think that played a huge role in that, you know what I mean? She couldn't give us anything. And then all of a sudden she found an avenue where she could give us things.
Right.
So
yeah, you made me cry. Well, I'm going to give Jody a hug. Right.
Let me ask you a question. So growing up, how did that affect when you got older? How did that affect your relationship with money?
Oh, I didn't understand it. When I got it, I spent it. You know what I mean? Because I was able to get what I wanted because I didn't have anything growing up. And so I didn't have any understanding of money whatsoever. And it took a long time for me to, you know, I remember when Scott was born and, you know, I was like, all right, I can't spend it here because then I won't have anything to put over here. You know what I mean? Into the family. And so it was a hard struggle to learn. I wish, you know, you were around when I was young so I could take these courses, but I didn't understand money whatsoever. Corey and I, we've talked about that. You know what I mean? That's one thing. It was later in life when we really truly understood what a value of a dollar is.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the future dollar has more value than the today dollar. Yeah. Right. If you put it away, you know,
right.
It's crazy, man. I wish that, listen, I mean, I cannot sit here and say that I didn't hear this conversation when I was 20. I can't sit here and say when I was 20 years old that people weren't saying, put your money away, put your money away. And just like Rusty, I'm like, nah, you got plenty of time for that. You know, right. So I wish there was a way that we could kind of like, you know, take those under 30 year olds and go, listen, this is the value of money, you know, or this is how to do it.
I'm thankful that we had we worked for a company that our owner had a 401k. So, you know what I mean? So, and at the time he was matching it. So, I'm so thankful for that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have, you know, because I had no clue what that was. You know what I mean? I'm like, why you gonna take my money? I don't think so.
Well, I challenge the young 20 somethings that are listening right now. I challenge you, if you're listening to this and you're like, if you've made it this far and you feel like, when you're more successful, you can get your money stuff together and that you don't have time now. You know, I challenge you to just start putting something aside. I don't care if it's $5 a day. I don't care if it's $20 a week, whatever, just in a separate account and just start putting it there and not touching it and just watch it grow. Because I think that that is something that almost turns into a fun addiction as well, you know, because it's nice to see it grow. $27.40 a day is $10,000 a year. So to the young person who thinks they can't afford certain things, start now, because it adds up really quickly. Again, $27 a day is nothing. That's your Starbucks and your lunch.
Yeah. Corey has a great story about Brian Nunes about that, where he, you know, he didn't want to save at all. And then all of a sudden when he started saving,
yeah,
he didn't want to spend it.
Yeah. Brian Nunes said, he saved $30 a day. That was 7 days a week, you know, $30 a day. He goes, as a hairdresser, you know, that's pretty, you know, for a busy hairdresser, that's pretty easy to do.
Right.
And you know, you're going to spend that again on a cup of coffee and lunch. Now we're at $30. Right. So he put away $30 a day. And, after a couple of years, he had $100,000 in, and here's a good payoff for this. So he took that money and he took a year off of hairdressing. And
you know what he did? I just listened to his story. Yep.
He traveled around the world with that money, and it was just what a great that $100,000 has more value than anything. But he came back. He opened a couple of salons. He's still using that practice. Still putting money away every single solitary day. That's his practice. And his great quote is that it's easier to spend money when you have none.
Right.
When you have money, it's harder to spend money. And I think it's what you were saying is that now that fulfillment that we were talking about earlier, that fulfillment is what you have in the bank, and watching that grow is your fulfillment, not the pair of shoes that you didn't need.
Exactly. And now you see all the stuff in your closet and, you know, you're like, oh, that money would be super helpful right now.
My wife, she was watching it with it, whatever the show to minimalize. And now my closet is, I got this little space. Yeah. Have you worn this in 6 months? It's like, I don't think so. All right, gone.
Does it bring you joy?
Does it bring you joy? Exactly. That's what she said. Like, not really. All right, gone.
It is interesting when you start paying attention to your money, you start thinking like that, you know. I mean, I know for my husband and I, we would only go out to nice restaurants because it wasn't worth it to go to a place that we just didn't know if it was going to be that good anymore. We would rather spend, you know, $150 on a meal than $30 on a crappy meal, you know. So you almost get to the point where you value your money a lot more. You know, I'd rather buy the thing that's going to last longer than having to buy the cheaper thing that, you know, is going to, I'm gonna have to buy again in 3 months. And you actually end up spending more money, you know, on the cheaper thing. So it's interesting the things that happen when you start to get your financial shit together, because it's things you don't expect.
Yeah. That's really good. I like that.
This has been a great conversation.
I do like this conversation.
it lit all these little fires back up.
I know, right? It totally did. I like what you said too. Like, you'd rather have a better meal. I mean, because now you're paying for that experience, and that, again, experience has a different value to you. But you know, you need to not have, you know, three or four $30 meals so you can do the big one and really
exactly. Exactly. I'm a huge Lululemon freak. Like, I love Lulu. And I mean, I have a pair of $99 leggings that I've had for 7 years that look brand new. You know, I could have been buying $25 ones every, you know, 6 months, and it would have been way more than these leggings that seemed so expensive at the time. So it's little things like that I think everyone thinks of, like, big numbers when they think of, you know, where they need to cut things. And yes, sometimes that is the case, but sometimes the biggest thing can happen by taking the small numbers and doing the math. I got one for you. When you go to Mexican, you know how they offer the big beer?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have the small beer. One day I'm that person. One day I did the math on it. The big beer is actually more expensive. You think that you're getting more for your money, but you're not. So, like, little stuff like that, you'll start noticing, and it's interesting.
You know what's surprising about that too, Misty, and I think I want to say I saw a TikTok about this, but, like, sometimes the larger cups are the same exact volume as the smaller one, and you've paid, like, you know, double for the bigger cups, but you're literally only paying for the glass, because they're usually like taller and a little thinner, and the glass width is a little thicker. Like, always be concerned when you go to pick up a mug and it's a little bit, it's a thick mug, because you're like,
exactly. Wait a sec.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you could get rid of your gym membership and just
exactly. Hey, Misty, what about some of the new apps that are out? I think Ashton Kutcher promotes one called Eggcorn, and it's like a savings account. Do you know about this? Mm-hmm. It's like a savings account where you spend. Do you know anything about these?
I do not. I don't know a whole lot about those. I know people who use them and like mm-hmm. them. I think they, like, round up the amount you spend and put it into another account or something like that.
Yeah, I think
is that
so.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of them do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great way to start.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that you just have to acknowledge what's happening. If you're up at night worrying about finances and you keep telling yourself, you know, things like, if I make this much money, then things will change. Or, you know, if I fill my books more, this will change, or whatever. Like, it's take a look at what's happening. You know, really, like, look at your numbers, you know, how just see what's going on and acknowledge what's going on, because that is the start. You know, that's when you can really just look at your situation with open eyes and not just think you need more, and just start changing your daily habits.
So if our listeners want to find you and learn more about everything that you've given us today, How can they find you?
I'm on Instagram, _MistyJane_ with a Y in the J. And I have a podcast, Backroom Beauty Talks. And that one, there's a little bit of money talk, but really I'm just talking to people in the industry. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I pretty much live on Instagram.
I wanted to say this from the beginning of the podcast, and I didn't until she just said her name again. You know, like, yesterday we interviewed Mariah, right? She was the godmother. Misty Jane's the outlaw. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just sounds like Bonnie and Clyde. Oh, yeah, Misty Jane.
You know, like my mom would be so proud.
Mom, listen in. That's awesome. Misty Jane, dude, first and foremost, congratulations on the podcast, but more so, just thanks for the friendship. Over the years, and you know, we appreciate what you're bringing to the industry, and appreciate
just the thank you so much for what you're doing for the industry. Absolutely,
I feel exactly the same about you guys. So y'all sparked something in me 2 years ago, and it's cool to see it flourish now.
Now I'm blushing, man. That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah,
we're big fans of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Miss Misty Jane, thank you very, very much for joining us on Your Day Off. Hey, so there it is. Hey, this is a message that we've been trying to bring, I don't know, for the last couple of months, actually since we started the podcast. Hey, so if you like the podcast, or if you find that it's useful, please, please, please leave us a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review.
But if you don't like it, forget about it.
Yeah, totally forget about this message. We also want to thank Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine, they are a band out of Portland, Oregon, and we just want to thank them very much for allowing us to use their song, Pleased to Meet You, on our podcast. That's cool. I think you can find their music on iTunes.
Peace and hair grease.